Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So this week we are continuing in the gospel according to Matthew. I'll be reading from the 14th chapter, starting with verse 22. You're welcome to follow along with the Pew Bibles on page 1190 or follow along with the screen. I'll be reading the New Revised Standard Version. Hear now these words. Immediately he, meaning Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, on this beautiful Sunday morning, and as we hear your word, help us to better understand those moments in our life where we may be gripped by fear and Jesus is present with us. Open our hearts, release our anxieties, and allow us to hear what you would have us hear this day. We pray this, hoping to hear a word of peace and grace this morning through my words and the collective meditations of our hearts. For you are our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. I will never forget the time that this scripture made me cry. So for those of you who may not know, I've not always been an ordained pastor. I've had a life before full-time church ministry. I went to school to become an engineer and worked in industry for a little while. I totally geeked out over adhesives and tape. I could tell you more about duct tape than most people ought to know. And I worked in biopharmaceutical in an analytical lab doing testing. Pretty straightforward stuff, but working with biopharmaceutical products that are life-saving for so many. And then when I had my... I don't know what that is, but Philip is... or not Philip. My watch is talking to me. I'll give this to you so that it doesn't record me or answer me, or I don't know. Anyway, and then when my babies were born, I stayed home. I chose to be a stay-at-home mom. I held my job in the off chance that I would decide to go back, but I chose not to. And instead, I stayed home with my littles, and in that process, I slowly worked my way into the life of the church, primarily in response to what happened on September 11th, trying to make sense of things that happened in the world and looking to the church for answers and healing. And in the time of my babies being little, I felt more called into the church, beyond just volunteering in Vacation Bible School, but to serve on children's ministry team and to fill in when our director stepped out from resigning and saying, man, I really feel like I'm called to this, and applying for the job, not knowing what I was doing, not having a theological degree, and them saying, you're great, but we're going to go with this other person because they are actually ordained and have a divinity degree. And I ended up doing her on-the-job training because this was my home church. Well, 3 months later, they realized it wasn't necessarily the best fit, and they said, we no longer want to have her. Would you be willing to reconsider and come in and do this job? So I felt like I had something to prove, right? Like, I had the spirit, but I may not have had the knowledge because I did not grow up in the church. I didn't come to faith until I was in my early 20s. I was reading scripture for the first time in my 20s. And yet here I was in the life of the church with a new associate pastor and a committed children's choir director where we were reimagining life for children in the life of the church. Of what could this look like and building on the pieces that were already there. And so we really focused in on Wednesday nights. How many of you grew up with like a midweek gathering in the life of your church? Yeah, and usually that included what? Food, and then maybe choir and Bible study, right? Yeah, exactly. So what we did is we constructed this program where we said, all right, we're going to do a family meal for anybody and everybody, and we're going to put children's programs before and after and offer adult things as well. And it was based on the model of Logos. Have any of you ever heard of Logos? I think it comes out of the Presbyterian Church, but Logos for us is the Word of God. So the Word. And it had this idea that you would do this kind of structure and you would have themed dinners and Bible studies and all of that. And so I went to a training for Logos to get an idea of what does this mean? What does this look like? And I went with my associate pastor. And what I learned from this was, how do we teach children scripture in a way that is real to them? And one of the ways was to actually act out the story. And so this was the story that we acted out in that space. So there were people who were standing over to the side. They were the waves, right? Like you could see little kids doing this, right? And they'd be loving it, right? So you got people over here that are on the waves. And then you had this crew of people that were on the boat and we're sitting here and we're shaking because we're terrified because the waves are going, right? And then you have somebody who's Jesus, and Jesus is all just sauntering, walking on the water, because that's normal, right? To see somebody walking on the water. And then there's Peter, right? And they're looking and they're like, it's got to be a ghost. The waves are going. It's dark. We can't see anything. What is that? Right? And Peter's like, hey, is that Jesus? Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you. So Jesus is over here and Jesus says, Peter, come. What you don't know is that I got the role of Peter. And I'm standing in the boat, shaking and terrified, and then I hear this calling, come to me. So I imagine stepping out of the boat and walking on this water towards Jesus. And I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about it. Because the calling from Jesus is so powerful and so moving that it catches me and my breath. And yet, what did Peter do? Peter got scared, realized what he was doing, which was walking on water. There's only one person who can do that, and it's who? Jesus. And so I'm like looking down and realizing, oh my gosh, what am I doing? The storm is going. I'm going to go into the water. And then what does Jesus do? Offers his hand and pulls Peter out of the stormy seas. And together they walk the rest of the way into that boat, and the storm quieted. I cried. Logos time training. I want to cry now, but I'm not going to because I don't have waterproof mascara on. But there are two pivotal moments that are happening there. One is, how many times in our own life are there circumstances where we feel we are caught up in a storm that we cannot get out of? That we are being tossed and tumbled. And I don't know about you, but I get really, really seasick in a boat. I get super nauseous in a boat. Not only that, but I also, if I'm not in control of the command of that boat, I feel like I am out of control and don't trust the person who's actually leading the boat. And there's no way I'm getting in that boat because I don't have control over it. And yet, this is where the disciples were, in this boat, being tossed in the sea. So remind you, the waves are going, right? The wind is blowing. All of the things in our life that buffets against us. And then Jesus comes to us in the dark. Jesus comes to us in the storm. Do we recognize who it is? Do we see Jesus? Is this the lifeline we needed in that moment in the storm of our life? And if so, will we take the hand that is extended to us and allow Jesus to walk with us the rest of the way to a place of calm and peace? Peter did. I try, but I'm not always good at it. And I imagine that y'all have probably had similar instances where there have been moments where it's just made sense, and there probably have been times in your life you're like, really, one more thing? Can you throw one more thing at me? Really? Really, Jesus? And then we think that we have to control it all. Or we're not even going to step into that because we don't have control, and so therefore we're not going to do even an iota of that. But that's not what this life of faith is meant to be. A life of faith, of following Jesus, is not one that's intended to be easy, like that Staples easy button where we can just push it and make it magically be how we want it to be. We know that it's not going to be straightforward. The path is going to be windy. It is going to be fraught with obstacles and struggles. And we learn something very important about how Jesus deals with this by reading in between the stories of last week and this week. What we forget is that Jesus had received the bad news that his cousin John had been beheaded right before he was preaching to the crowd and the miracle of feeding the 5,000. That Jesus, having been dealing with his own stuff, put that aside temporarily to be fully present to that crowd, and then knew that the work needed to continue. So he put his disciples, his followers, on to that boat to get to the next place because there was still work to do. Do you think Jesus knew that there was going to be a storm when he put them on that boat? I would probably guess yes. Why? Because God knows everything. So Jesus probably had an inkling of what they were going to encounter and what they were going to experience and how they were going to react. And Jesus didn't go to them immediately. What did Jesus do? Jesus went up the mountain to pray. Jesus took some time to himself to connect with God, probably to offer words of grief and lament, having lost his cousin John. Words of celebration of how amazing speaking to that crowd and the openness of their hearts and how they opened up their resources to feed each other with extreme abundance left over. He prayed, I'm sure, for his disciples who he just put on a boat, knowing that they were going to have this stormy sea, and he didn't go immediately. How do we know that? Because it was in the early morning hours that Jesus begins to cross the water. And even in the midst of that, Jesus said, come to me. And when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and started floundering in the water, Jesus extended his hand. How many times has someone just put their hand out and held on to it when you needed it the most? Maybe there were no words that were said. Maybe it was just that I'm connected to somebody else. I got to that place of safety when I didn't know that I could. Stormy seas come up all of the time. Struggles in our life happen all the time. Things we don't anticipate, things we can't possibly be prepared for, things that oftentimes we cannot deal with on our own. And so, what do? We call out to Jesus. And we take each other's hands. For we are the hands and feet of Christ. That when we cannot find it in ourselves, we may be able to catch a glimpse of Christ in someone else. And the storm will be quieted. Does it mean it goes away? No, but it makes the journey a little bit easier to manage. And the way that I'm seeing the heads and the way that I'm seeing you all this morning is, I could probably imagine for the 50 plus people that are here that there are 50 plus, maybe times two, things that y'all are dealing with today, this week, this month. As your pastor who has shared a word of God with you, I want to remind you that you are not alone. That you are not left to your own devices to figure out the stormy sea. That you have both Jesus and this community to lean into. That you have the opportunity to pray, to turn it all over to God, trusting that God already knows where you are. Thanks be to God for a love like that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.